I just have a 30 minutes. So by 3 o'clock, we should be done. And then I'll pray for people. Is that I'll prophesy and I'll pray for people. Is that okay?
Is that when the worship team comes?
Yes. But I want you to ask questions. Because, you know, look, sometimes teaching is great, but it's so good to hear the question and I can answer you and whatever, whether leadership or any question that you feel that you answer, you can want to ask me, please do. Okay? Yeah, we are all leaders here and I am pastors here. And is that okay? Anybody wants to start to ask me a question? Everybody is quiet. Yes. Okay. Well, someone once said, set yourself on fire and watch people and let people come and watch you burn. That's one way to do it, by getting passionate for Jesus. And they, because, you know, Muslims are very passionate people. When they know that you're passionate and you believe in what you believe in, and they, you know what? Muslims like to see the practical miracles. That's what changed me. Somebody got healed in my hands. And the key to everything with God is relationship. You develop a relationship with them, then it's easy to draw them in. When you have no relationship and you go preach to them, it's just another religion to them. So it's relationship that really, really brings them in. And I think for me, there are two Christian friends that drew me in because they were so passionate about what they believe in. And that drew me in. That sold me for Jesus and sold out now. Any other questions? Yes. Somebody want to ask a question here? I think the love of God for me is what changed me, the Father heart of God. That I have never experienced that kind of love that I've had from Jesus. And that's what sustained me. That's what got me to where I am. That I'm confident that He loves me without a shadow of a doubt. Like the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, that nothing high, nothing above, below can separate us from the love of God. For me, there's nothing that can separate me from Jesus. I remember when we first got married with my wife, and that's what I told her. I said, you know what? I'm going to love Jesus first. You are second. And she said the same thing to me too. And that has been that. God is always first. And He said He loves us. He loves us before. excuse me. We love Him because He first what? Loved us. So because He loves me, has given me the opportunity to experience what really love is. The love I have for Him is not infatuation. It's real love. It's heart to heart. My relationship with the Holy Spirit is very key. And I have a deep relationship with the Holy Spirit that like the way I'm talking to you, I can talk to Him. Like now I've talked to Him, look, He's already here. His presence is here already. But when you talk about Him, He loves to be there. You know, He's here. So that's that. And because you know what? When you have the love of God, when you have His love with you, there's nothing that can stop. The rejection will just walk away to leave you alone. Because His love is more than rejection. His love is more than anything else. That's what I said. I can say this clearly, that I don't care what people think of me because I'm healed. I don't care what you think of me. I don't care what my parents think of me. I know what He thinks of me is much better than what other people think of me. So I'm healed from this, you know. So rejection, you know, I've dealt with it. Like you said, I've done RTF. I've done SOZO. I've done inner healing. I've done Sanford and all sort of stuff. I've done all that stuff, which is great. It's another tool. But the key for me is the relationship. I can go back to him all the time. I can go back to him. He keeps filling me up. Keep filling me up. Yeah. That's what I have to do, because at this moment they don't want my father's passed away, but when I became a born again, I've been praying for my mom and dad a lot, and I still been praying for them. But my dad, I don't pray for my dad anymore. My dad is passed away, so I don't pray for him anymore, because we don't pray for the dead, or we don't pray for the dead or pray for to the dead. But I remember my mom came to Canada. And when he came to Canada, he said to us that a week before my father passed away, he went to every person in the village and apologized. Muslims don't apologize. They don't. They don't at all. My dad went to apologize, so I knew he's saved. Muslims are very private people. They don't publicly profess unless somebody bold like me. They don't profess Jesus. It's easy. It's not easy. Like Nicodemus had to go and hide himself and hide in the night to go and see Jesus. You know. But I don't know whether my mom is saved or not. I still don't have a relationship with her. So when there's nothing you can do, there's nothing you can do. All you have to depend on the Lord. And I'll be honored if my mom and dad, if my dad is, and my mom is saved, and my brothers are saved. But I can't control. I don't control that. And my salvation, their salvation, doesn't depend on me. I don't save people. You know what I'm saying? So I just give them to God and let God take care of them, because I can't change them. So I just have to give them to God. So why should I worry about something that I cannot change? Worry not. So all I know, I've given them to my Lord, and the rest is history. I know he'll take care of them. That's what he promised. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Yes, any other question? Yeah. Whether it's Christianity or Muslim, doesn't matter. Just ask me the question. If not, we can go into the next I wanted to do. I felt the Lord wanted me to do. Is that all the questions you have? I was thinking I'm going to get hard questions. Yes?
Just on a very practical note.
Mm-hmm.
How in Canada and the States are you handling
a
cashless society? But it's a card all the time.
Okay.
So when you have offerings, do you have electronic devices?
In our church?
Yeah, or do you just have a basket like we've got?
Well, we have a basket. We have a plastic or whatever it is. And we use donation a lot. People donate from our website a lot. But we haven't started with cash because we don't have a... Actually, we just got a physical building. We didn't have buildings before. We have 3 churches that we don't have physical building, that we don't own the building. We rent the building. We set up and tear down, you know. I'm sure you guys have done that before, you know. But the new church that we have, that we lease the building there, so, which is much, much helpful, you know. Hopefully we'll get a cash machine there one day, but not at this now. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Is that similar? We stop training people to go out.
Yeah.
Are you finding that other than people just coming?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I one of the things our church we do is that we don't like people sitting on the pews. We don't like people sit. We want people to get out and do something for the Lord. That's one. But every church is called differently. We know what we're called to do. See, I'm not an evangelist. I cannot go on the streets. I'm just being honest with you. Our church, because I am not an evangelist, there are people, evangelists, I've said to them, go and preach the gospel wherever you want to go. But for me personally, I'm a church planter. I can't do somebody else's own. And I think, for me, I'm not talking in particular you, but look, for me, once in a while I preach the gospel, I make salvation call. Okay, I do salvation call and people get saved. And we keep them. Some of them go, some of them come back. But every church is different and every church should know what you're called to do. Because not everybody is called to be evangelized. Like your church, hopefully you're called to evangelize people, which is great. For me, mine is to clean up the sheep. That's what I'm called to do, to clean up the sheep. So somehow, we don't do, once in a while, we do outreach. We do flyers. We go to door to door, knock doors. But that's once in a while. Like we went to Alliston. We print the flyers, we knock at the whole neighborhood doors and to let them know we're here. And the people just walk in. They hear from us from somewhere. But I think that's what we, but I hope I'm answering the question right. Am I answering your question right? Okay, this is true.
That, as part of the fivefold ministry.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's just for the flock.
Yeah.
There's no evangelist, no
there was just that We have a lady. We have a lady in our church, Francine. She just goes them and bring them in.
Yeah.
That's her calling. Yeah. So we release her to go and bring all the people, and she goes to the homeless people, bring them in. She organizes them. She has a women's ministry that she has, but that's her calling. She's an evangelist. And we have people, our church is a very prophetic church, and we have prophetic teaching and I don't use those names, but we are like apostolic church. So we are working towards that, but I'm not saying we are fully there. But you're right. A lot of churches are teachers and pastors. All right. But because of that. We do outreaches. Like we have Alliston. When we go back on Friday, Aurora. We have Aurora that we go and do an outreach. We just do an open meeting. We invite people to come. When people come in, and hopefully they go to different churches. We'll send them to different churches. For us, our main thing is, look, we train people and release them. We train them and release them. If anytime we train them, we let them go. If they go, and I remember there was a family that came to our church, and they've been with us for about the first 2 years, 1.5 to 2 years in our church. And I know they weren't connecting in our church, so I called the pastor in Midland to say, you know what? They were good tithers. good tithers. But I knew they weren't fitting in our church. So what I did, I called another pastor out of town and say, I have this family here. And there were 8 of them. So that's 8, a family of 8 gone. You know, so I called the pastor and said, you know, this family doesn't really do very well in our church. I didn't tell them I'm very tight inside of it, but I had a lunch with him, and then I took him there, and they went there, and I introduced him to the pastor, and they moved to Midland, and they were doing extremely very well. They just blossomed there. They blossomed there. Why should I stop them from getting forward because of their tithing? So I had to release them. When I released them, guess what? God brought two more people to do the same thing, better than five. You know what I'm saying? But I had to let go because that's just my heart. My heart is if I see that somebody's there and they need something, somebody over there who is better on our side, we'll send them down there. But even in Canada, the church just closed down and they gave us all their equipment. It happens now. And I think one of the things that I've observed as a Christian, I've observed as a pastor is we're feeding the sheep, but we're not really feeding the sheep. We're feeding the sheep for them to just get fat and sit down on the pews. We're not feeding them to let it go. Christianity is to what? Is when you receive, you give it away. That's how the kingdom of God works. What you have, you give it away. If you have it, you give it away. But we've taught Christians to sit down, and they eat and eat. They get fat. So there are a lot they call fat Christians. Because they don't have nowhere. And when the fat doesn't have anywhere to go, it gets... So that's why you need to send them out so that they can go out there, like he said, send them out so that they can go and get the people and clean them, you know? But that's what we've been doing it for years and years and years and years, unless we change it. You know, they say definition of insanity, doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Why don't we change it? Yes, what's the question? Oh. No questions? What's the question? Anybody else with a question? I thought I'm going to have a difficult question. That's the only question I have. That's the most difficult question. And it's the Baptist that has the question, too.
Yeah.
I was hoping a theological question. I'm just kidding. See, the Baptist, you see what I'm saying? Yeah, I haven't read the scripture yet.
No, I have noted that.
Any other question, then we move on to the next one. And please ask me the question. Do you have a question? Yes. Baptist, can you tell him that? Wait a minute. Now I'm getting jealous here. Listen, praying, people falling down has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit knocks you down. That's why people have been hurt a lot. When people don't fall down, they say the Holy Spirit is not in me. No, that's not true. I have good pastors. I have good Baptist people. Who have the Holy Spirit and they don't fall down. But they pray for the sick and see them healed. You know? And they pray for people and they rock them and ha, 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 ha. But they themselves don't fall. You know what I'm saying? So we shouldn't look at outside manifestation to show that, to prove whether the Holy Spirit is in or not. So the outside manifestation It's another side of it. But that doesn't mean all of it. Because it's true that the Bible said in Ezekiel 38 that birds of the earth, fish of the sea, men and women will shake in my presence. But not everybody shakes. I know of a guy, now he's such a shake. Jeremy Corney wasn't shaking at all. Now they're showing, oh yeah, Jeremy's shaking now. Jeremy jerks now. Before, they call him hard to receive.
Yeah.
That's the name they call it, hard to receive. Unlike him, he's just like a leaf. Canteen shakes like a leaf, you know? Yes. Jonathan doesn't fall, but he shakes, though he doesn't fall.
That was my question. I mean, have you heard yet whether Jonathan's been down?
No, he hasn't gone down yet. I haven't seen... Look, I've been around John for how many years? I haven't seen him gone down. He shakes, he does this. He said, whoa, but I haven't seen him gone down yet.
He's going to trip him up when he
comes. Yeah. Even people wanted to push him down. He stood this way and never went down. No, he doesn't go down. So, you know, but the anointing is there. You know, so the falling down has absolutely nothing to whether the Holy Spirit is in or out. It has nothing to do with whether Baptists pray for you or not. What's that? Oh, no. You're not a Baptist, okay? I know. Any other questions? Huh? Soon doesn't mean tomorrow. Very soon. And when God says soon, watch out. Soon doesn't mean tomorrow. Yeah. Any other question? Man, I was expecting to ask questions, you know?
Volunteer.
Okay. To volunteer in churches. Every church has that problem. They said 80%, 20 people serve 80%. It's only in our church we've gone to 40%. Because I tell them what to do. It's true. I tell them what to do. I say, you're going to serve tomorrow. And they come and serve. Most of them, they come and serve. And people get mad at me. You know, actually, you know what? I just, hey, you're going to be on the worship team. And they come on the worship team. And they do very well. That's how it works for me. You know, majority of the times, like Kathy didn't want to sing before, put on the worship team. You know, he doesn't like, you know, I do this all the time. You know what? Ask people nicely. Okay, let them serve somewhere and they see whether it fits. If it doesn't fit, move them somewhere else. Let them serve there. If it doesn't fit, move them somewhere else. And besides, sometimes I put their name on it. I put their name on the schedules. Pastor, I didn't volunteer, but my name is on the schedule. I said, yep. And this is what they say. Oh, Pastor doesn't understand North America. It's an African. I say, yes. I get away with it. Honestly, that's what I do. I get away with it. And when people don't say, I say, Pastor, there's only two or three people who said no. And I don't give them any position in the church anymore. Because if you can't serve, how can you have a position? Do you know what I'm saying? If you can't serve, Jesus Christ is the one, he is the King of Kings, but yet he said he is the one who served more than everyone else. I mean, of course, Paul said he speaks tongues more than everybody else. But in the greatest of all is the servant. The greatest of all is servant. I mean, if you don't serve, so what I do is that I scan around and say, oh, tomorrow you're going to be at the door. What? Why? No, not you. I'm just... But that's what the pastors do. You love the people. You be at the door and love the people. You give them a hug. And when we not open the door. You know, when I first started the church, this is what they told me. And it came to a point of, Pastor, how come you didn't give me a hug today? And I said, oh, tomorrow I'm not coming to church. I said, don't come. He said, are you serious? I said, yeah. I said, because I didn't give you a hug, you're not coming to church. Don't come. Actually, you're coming to church because of me. No, you know, I don't want to be in trouble. Don't come back. Ooh. And my leader said, don't tell people not to come back to church. I said, they're coming for because of me. Then they shouldn't be in church. They're not coming because of me. They're coming because of Jesus. If they're coming because of me, then we have a problem. I don't want him to get mad at me because they're coming because of me. They should come because of him. So if they're coming to church because of me, then they should find somewhere to go. Have a good life. Honestly. You know, but I'm a real person. I remember, I'll prophesy, okay? 5 minutes, okay? I remember when I started the church a man came to me. He said, Pastor, God has given me loads of money. Loads and loads of money. And I said, okay. He said, well, can I donate it to your church? And he said, sure. So he donated $25,000 to our church. So he came to, after when he donated money, he came to see me in the office. He said, Pastor, you're not doing what I'm telling you to do. And I said to him, look, I'm a novice. I don't have any grade. As a Muslim guy who became a Christian and became a Christian pastor, I have no idea what they do. So he just told me, Pastor, can you do this? And I said, no, that's not what I'm called to do. Can you do that? I said, no. So, well, I just donated $25,000 and you're not doing what I told you to do. I said, so? And the Lord said to me, Zach, 6 months later, and the Lord said to me, so he's mad. And I said, Lord, why are you mad? He said, I can't believe he's doing that. And he said, well, can you write him his money back? And I said, no. He said, can you write the check? So I told the bookkeeper to write the check. I went to my leadership and we talked about it and we wrote him a check and we added interest. We added interest and we wrote him a check and gave him his money. He didn't want to receive the money. So we mailed the check to his house. 2 years later, he lost everything, including the $25,000. Because people will use you. People will think they can come to your church and tell you what to do, but they don't know you have a boss. His name is Jesus. That's my boss. The buck stops with him. That's it.